When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Phones we go, plus Dick Vermeil in 10 minutes. Charlie right now. Charlie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Charlie.
Hey, so I say this a lot when I'm at work and in my personal life, but, you know, I think we have to accept the fact that many things can be true at the same time, and that is that AJ and Jalen are fine. They're friends outside of football. They'll be friends for, you know, after football. They're friends during football. And the passing game isn't doing well, and that includes Jalen Hurts, and that means that there's going to be games where AJ is not happy with Jalen's performance, and that's fine. That's just football. It's just friends. And I think if we, every time, you know,
it's not fine, AJ, Charlie, if it runs deep. Charlie, it's not fine if it runs deeper than that. We don't know how deep it runs. I don't think Brandon would have said what he said if it didn't run deeper than just, hey, no big deal. They're friends and they had a bad day. I don't buy that. Because BG, in my opinion, would not have said what he said if it wasn't deeper.
It's possible that BG doesn't know.
It's possible, but unlikely.
Yeah, very unlikely.
I can tell you, as a player who was on IR, you are a little bit outside the...
John, he just went on IR. He knows what's going on. He's been around those guys for a long time.
I'm telling you, it's different once you are out of the loop.
He's not out of the loop.
He hasn't been out all season.
I know.
He missed one game.
I know.
Okay, he's in the loop.
I know that it's different once you are no longer out there at
practice.
But he's
in the loop.
Out there at the, in the game.
You're not going to convince me he's not in the loop.
I know he's not as in the loop as he would have been had he played.
Okay. Go ahead, Charlie.
I can say from my personal experience, there are people that I work with that when I'm working with them, I don't like them very much. And I get frustrated with them and they get frustrated with me and we're coming from different points of view. But, you know, when we're outside of the building, we're very good friends and we put that all aside. And that actually, in a way, strengthens when the times are bad and we're frustrated with each other because we can be angry. Because we can be mad, but we know at the same time that there's life outside of what we're doing, and we're still friends there.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly the relationship these guys
have.
Well,
possibly. I mean, it's hard for us to know. It's impossible.
If it's healthy, that's the relationship.
Charlie, give me a big answer. Like Belichick to college football, who or what surprised you?
I was just shocked that the Mets signed Soto. I thought it was going to be the Yankees. I was shocked by
all
that.
Right, my man. Not to me.
Yeah, me neither.
Cullen was always going to get him.
Absolutely thought he was
James,
going to
this
that.
Was our worst fear has come realized when Cullen bought the team 3 or 4 years
exactly.
ago. This was the whole fear.
This is exactly it.
Yeah, this is the fear.
Like this guy is four times as much as any other owner, right. And he could just do what he wants.
And by any other, you mean the second place owner,
I'm
right?
talking about the second place
so
owner.
So how much more is he than Middleton?
Like that. He was before. So
is
last
it like
time
10
looked,
times?
No, yeah. So it's not quite that. Like, okay. So he's like, I think he's like Middleton. He's worth a little over 20 or something like that.
Billion?
I haven't checked in a little while.
20 bill.
And Middleton's around four. So he's like four times more than Middleton, more okay. or less. So but the second highest is only like, I don't think there's anyone else in double figures, billions-wise.
Wild. All right, let's listen to Sirianni. He talked yesterday, a lot of things. And, of course, I think he's done a really good job trying to defuse this situation this week. It was a complex one. And he talked about his squad hashing some stuff out, given everything that had gone on. Interesting answer here. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
How it was with the team, meeting with the team back together, with all the noise out there, that maybe there was a little clearing of the air with the entire team.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was saying there is, yeah, I mean, again, you dress to be able to move on. And again, yeah, same thing I said earlier.
Here's what would be interesting to know that we don't know. The concept of a meeting, which he said, I mean, John, he was very clear with us on Tuesday and reiterated it on Wednesday yesterday. Like, hey, I always meet with the guys. So, of course, I meet with them. I meet with them all the time. Here's what I would wonder about this idea of a team meeting. Gut feeling, John. Team meeting in which Sirianni addresses it with the crew and then they move on. Or a team meeting where Sirianni addresses it and says, guys, open room right now. Who wants to talk? Do you think AJ, Jalen, Brandon Graham addressed the team yesterday?
No. I think they conducted business as usual in the team meeting, that it's possible they talked elsewhere, but it wasn't, hey, team meeting, we're going to tack on, let's get our feelings out if we need it here.
You don't think BG apologized meeting. In front of the team for going public?
I think it's
And you
possible,
don't think AJ did?
I think it's possible that stuff was taken care of before they got to the team meeting today. I think it sounds like they did a lot of business yesterday.
Well, I'm talking about yesterday. Yesterday
okay.
was Wednesday.
So I'm thinking back to Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah. So
do you think BG and AJ
like
stood up there?
Before they were in there right? for practice. Remember, Wednesday is the official day that business yeah. starts
back
for
to
the
practice.
NFL week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before that happened, I think this was all taken care of.
Do you think AJ or Brandon addressed the team?
It's possible, and it would have been as quick and easy as, hey, guys, I just want to let you know I spoke. I shouldn't have. It won't happen again.
Yeah.
It's very transactional, and everyone probably felt a lot better if it happened.
Right.
I don't think it necessarily had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It could have. I think the way that they function best is when everything's out in the open.
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Sure.
One reaction that I love is how Jordan Mulata, who I think really has developed into a team leader type guy. I mean, the way you hear him message things publicly, I'm very impressed with
him. Totally agree with
right?
you. Right? Yeah, I think he's taken with Kelsey and Cox, even we talked about that leadership vacuum. I feel like he's stepped up.
And he's connected to those guys. I mean, he played with them long enough. He's not a guy that just got here, you know, just last year. I mean, he sat for 2 years before he even played.
Yeah, learning to learn the freaking sport.
He was on the Embiid program, sit for 2 years and then jump in. So here is
for different reasons.
For a very different reason. For a more admirable reason. Here's Jordan Mulata yesterday. I really liked his message moving forward. Here's Mulata yesterday on kind of everything but keeping focus.
Jordan, was this addressed in a team meeting today at all? And did it seem like if it was that this is now over?
Yes. We are moving on. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, not the AJ Brown and Jalen show. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's it.
I like it. I mean, it's kind of Belichick-ish, John.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I mean, that's basically what he said.
I think it's neat and
it's really
tidy.
Good.
All of this stuff was out of the way. I think there's a lot to the idea, Joe, that this was last week. This took place after the game. I think the way that NFL players process things is it's very like week 16, week 15, week 14. It's that was last week, guys. They have moved on, and it is very much, let's get this, what today is short yardage, goal line, special situations against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Look,
let's
they,
get this right.
If they've moved on, that's impressive because it was something to move on from. Because as recently as 2 days ago, it was a firestorm around
here. I think they
here.
Moved on. I think they figured it all out. They had it tidied up before business started yesterday.
That would be impressive. It would. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox. It sets the bar on styling. And Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now to get Let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question, are you disappointed with the Phillies offseason so far? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, Dick Vermeil joins us typically Fridays at 8 o'clock, but he's with us right now. We always love the opportunity to have Coach Vermeil on the program. He's brought to us by Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals, meaning you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com, the legendary coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Dick Vermeil. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Dick, quite a week for the Eagles. You know, you just heard John and I talking about it. I mean, can you detail for a moment the complex, because Sirianni dealt with a lot this week, and I've been extremely impressed with how he's handled it. Can you detail when you're an NFL head coach and players are talking and the media's talking and everyone's talking and the nation has its eyes focused on you, saying stuff's going wrong. What is that like as a head coach to deal with all that all at the same time?
You know, in my era, remember the last game I coached was January 1st, 2006, okay? There was a lot of media, but nothing like it is today. So we weren't confronted with the issues that they have as often as they're confronted with them today. I mean, it's every week there's something for any team or all teams, you know, so I just say that's how the media makes a living, and that's how coaches learn how to handle problems better and say, not add to the fire by saying the wrong thing to the media. You know, there's just so many people evaluating the game today. You know,
sure.
Next-gen stats. They got how fast the quarterback ran the long run the other day. My God. You know, so I think the number of people evaluating it has created more of a problem than the game itself or the player themselves.
Yeah. So, Dick, this one's an interesting one, though, in large part because it was totally created by actual Eagles players. Like, A.J. Brown spoke out, Brandon Graham spoke out. They didn't have to, they chose to. What would you have done as a head coach? An Eagles legend, B.J., injured, out for the year, and one of the two or three best players in the Eagles, A.J. Brown. How would you have handled it if you were Sirianni?
First off, I hope I would have prevented it through my constant head coaches meetings. I always talked about never overload your rear end with your mouth, okay? And it's so much easier to do that today. So that's the first thing. You try to prevent it from happening. You know, but I think sometimes today we tend to make a bigger deal out of it than we really should, both in coaching and players and in the media. You know, I get mad at my wife at least two or three times a week, and she gets mad at me about six times a week, okay? So it's all right for a wide receiver to get upset. You know, it's not surprising that Brown is first guy to get upset, you know. He's a hungry receiver. And I think they've clarified many times the only reason he gets that way is because of his desire to make a contribution to winning. I don't think it's you can contribute it to his arrogance within his personality. And I could be wrong, but I think, you know, like you said, Nick handled really well. Plus, they have a lot of coaches on the staff that can help handle these kind of things and cool them down. But I've seen players get in fist fights on the practice field and then in the locker room hugging each other. Okay,
sure.
So the game is so intense today that sometimes we just have to learn to over.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Overlook those kind of situations. Now, if it's an arrogance problem, then the coach has got to handle it. But we've already stated a couple times that it isn't arrogance with A.J. Brown.
So your ability to control your emotions, Coach, you're famously emotional, and
right,
you have somehow been able to control those emotions to work for you. How can a coach teach a player to utilize his emotions better for good? AJ, sometimes it feels like the emotions get, you know, out of control. How does a coach,
you know,
help a player get those reined in so they can be used for good, for productivity?
Communication, trust. You keep talking about it. If they trust you, they listen to you. You know, and like I've said many times, there's no correlation between age and maturity. And there are 25 to 28-year-old players that need to continue to mature. Some of them never do, then they normally last that long in the league, okay? But a lot of players go through issues when they're young and being evaluated like they are, and they gradually mature to handle it better. Same with coaches. Grimey, I used to, I had players come off the field say, "Coach, will you please shut up? I'm tired of you yelling at me." You know? So, anyway, I just think, the A.J. Brown, nobody knows him better than the coaching staff. No one knows him better than his quarterback. No one, you know, the city respects and admires our quarterback. He's proved he's a winner, okay? Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown has been here a couple of years, and he's made our quarterback a better quarterback.
Sure.
So I think there'll never be a divorce. There might be some arguments.
Sure.
Dick, let's talk about the QB. I think A.J.'s initial point was he's just really frustrated with the quarterback not playing better. I'm very concerned about Jalen in the passing game, but I acknowledge he does a lot of other good stuff that helps the team win. How concerned are you with Jalen's passing? And by passing, I mean the reading of the defense, the getting the ball out quick, being on time, that stuff. How concerned are you?
Oh, I get concerned game time when I see it happening. When I'm a spectator. You know, I don't know what he's been told to do. But I spent about 2 hours yesterday going through evaluating Jalen Hurts' career. You know, this season alone, 7 of the 11 games he started, he's had a quarterback efficiency rating over 100, okay? 3 times over 126. So
wow.
I would say on last Sunday, I would give more credit to Carolina. I've had the opportunity to start out coaching three losing teams. And the one thing I've recognized about losing teams, when you have a good coaching staff and good morale on the staff and keep them fired up, they get better as the season goes along, but they never get credit for being a good team. Carolina has improved a lot. The quarterback has improved tremendously. The defense has improved. The running back is one of the top running backs in the league. And what happens, you get a team like that with a losing record, they come in and play a winning team. The winning team's attitude is not what it ought to be because they think they're going to blow them out. And the losing team knows they're getting better and they can't wait to prove it. They're more motivated. And these, I've had it. Now, I'm proud to say a couple of times my losing teams beat real good playoff teams toward the end of the season. Why? Because they got better. So I think in this case, sometimes we've got to give the defensive team, the opponent, more credit than we give them. And don't evaluate them through the whole season. Evaluate what they've done in the last three or four games. Hey, they've played some good teams and played them well, including the Chiefs. So be careful of over-evaluating a winning team playing a losing team. But I think sometimes Jalen almost acts like he's not aware where everybody's going with the pass pattern. Sometimes that's due to a head coach or a passing game coach putting in three or four new things in the game plan that they really haven't run under game conditions. And all of a sudden it gets game conditions and you don't react as well because you haven't really seen it under fire. That's sometimes the reason. The other reason, sometimes the quarterback just misreads it, and doesn't really see what he ought to see. But there's no question he hangs onto the ball a little too long. You know, I did a study yesterday compared him with Tom Brady, you know, career-wise. Jalen's completion record right now in his career is 64.2. Tom Brady is 64.3, okay? Mm. Glenn, interception percentage, Jalen Hurts, 2%. Tom Brady, 1.8. Career rating, Jalen right now at 93. Tom Brady at 97.2, so he's got an edge. The big edge is his sack percentage, okay? And he gets sacked 7.2% of the time in his career, where Brady was only 4.4. So, yeah, Brady, you know, was in the same offense with the same, most of the time, the same head coach, the same coordinators, all those times. So you're naturally going to react and be more consistent. But I do think there are times he doesn't really see the field as quickly as he ought to see the field.
Fortunately, that can be something he can improve upon, right, Coach?
No question. But you know this, I found this out by coaching Coach Warner, Kurt Warner. Some guys just see it. Period.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's fascinating. You know,
Dick, we get all kinds of credit for coaching a Hall of Fame quarterback out of the Arena League. Okay?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the very first game he started, he beat a very fine football team.
Yeah,
and threw the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
And his first six games of his career, no quarterback starting his first six games in his career have ever matched those stats. So he just did it naturally. Uh-huh. And you've been around those kind of guys. Hey, I'm sure Montana was somewhere close.
Yeah,
you know, and Steve Young and those guys. But I don't know if our quarterback Jalen Hurts is in that category, and it may take him a little longer within the same scheme.
Sure.
To get the same understanding, some people get it naturally.
Sure, that's fair. So, Coach, at the end of this last game in the fourth quarter, we neglected to go up two scores because the field goal was 54 yards and we didn't have faith that Jake Elliott could make it from 54 yards. Do we have a kicker problem? Do we have a kicker confidence problem? What would you do in our situation?
Boy, that's tough. You know, I don't know the kicker personally. I would probably stay with him. I was always accused of staying with a player too long, especially if he was a real good attitude guy. If he was a questionable attitude, I wouldn't stay with him. But I would stay with him and try to get him going again. As I read, and you know, in watching the game, they talked about the wind factors. I can remember in the old vet, we used to leave the end and the door open down at the end there sometimes because the wind could come through and move the ball around when you wanted it to move around.
All right.
So, and they did. You know, the wind was an issue. The wind was an issue. Most head coaches go through a period of time with a fine kicker that all of a sudden he's not a fine kicker. Sometimes they come out of it. I think most of the time the caliber of a kicker he is, they come out of it. Hey, just look at the Ravens. My God.
Yeah.
They're going through with the Ravens, you know. Normally, that caliber of kicker comes out of it, especially if he's handled properly by the head coach and the special teams coach. They come out of it.
Unbelievable. Dick Vermeil with us here, as always. Typically, though, on Friday, right now on Thursday. Dick, two final things. So, the one seed. You know, the Eagles obviously could win in Detroit in the playoffs if they had to, but it's a lot harder. Can you put into words with four games to go, and of course you famously won one of the most important games the Eagles have ever played at home, and who knows what would have happened if you had to play that game in 1980 in Dallas, but how important with the four games remaining, how important do you think it is for the Eagles' chances to get to the Super Bowl that they get that one seed?
I think it's critical. I think it's critical for all teams. I don't think any team that's gotten to the Super Bowl was so good they couldn't take advantages of the advantages, okay? And it's an advantage to play a playoff game at home, no question to me, and especially at our place. You know, God, you can't go into a stadium that would be any more fired up or intense or motivated than our home fans playing Detroit here, okay, or whoever it is. I think we're good enough to go to Detroit and beat Detroit as long as Detroit doesn't play their best game.
Sure.
You just never know.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden they could turn the ball over and they haven't been turning the ball over. The quarterback threw four or five interceptions in one game and won, okay?
Yeah.
And since then he hasn't thrown interceptions. But it still might not end up being Detroit. They've got some tough games to play.
Sure do.
Know?
That's right. And
so,
Dick.
You're right. Right now, I think as a head coach, I would just hope to hell we could get that home field advantage.
Yeah, it's big. Dick, final thing, two-part question. How good are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and what is your prediction for the Eagles and Steelers on Sunday?
The Pittsburgh Steelers are a good football team. They're always a good football team, as you know, over the years. What Tomlin has done, and it was done before him, it's in the organization, it's bred, it's almost like they get a vaccination, that they're going to play tough, hard-nosed football. And I think they preach it. A rookie, a first-round pick comes in there right off the bat. They know the atmosphere, what it is and what it's going to be, and it's always going to be. So they're always going to be tough. These two teams, as you really study them, are really a good matchup. They're really a good matchup. Statistically, the Eagles are slightly better, okay? They don't. Pittsburgh doesn't throw interceptions, really, and now we don't either, you know. But I think our advantage right now in two quarterbacks, I got here nine different quarterback stats, Russell Wilson is slightly better. But two critical ones were the Eagles, and Jalen are better, is in third down conversion. We're at 43-3, okay? They are at 39. That's a big percentage. Mm-hmm. A red zone, we're at 59-6 scoring a touchdown. Pittsburgh's only 44. That's our edge, and we have to keep playing like that Sunday.
Good stuff. Hey, Coach, thanks so much for being a huge part of the program today. Let me remind everyone, if you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can now get delicious Vermeil wine shipped directly to your home. Visit vermeilwines.com. That, again, that website, vermeilwines.com, as we approach the holidays for Coach's entire wine selection. Coach Vermeil, have a wonderful week. We look forward to talking to you next weekend or next week.
Okay, the one last thing. My computer says the Eagles win by 7.
Eagles by 7. We'll take it. Thank you, Dick.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, take care.
All right, the legendary coach of the Eagles, Dick Vermeil.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.